Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through the industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Kathleen Flanagan. She is an author, founder, and CEO of Awakening Spirit and a podcast host. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you, AJ. I'm really happy to be here.
You are welcome to the show. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure a lot of people, not just in India, but across the globe, will benefit from what we are going to talk about. We'll be talking about transformation and personal growth. So we'll talk in that backdrop. First, to understand from you, Kathleen, you talk about a whole lot of things from this world as well as outside world. I want to tell people, I've just been able to tell about your being an author, founder of Awakening Spirit and podcast host. But I want to know from you, for the audience, who exactly is Kathleen Flanagan, so that they can gain as much from you that is possible.
I have been on this journey of an awakening spirit since I was 16 years old. I came in knowing I was going to be doing something to change the world, not exactly sure what that was at 16, but I was told when I went into a meditation from an Edgar Cayce meeting at 16 that I was going to change the world. And I had what I thought was God present the world and the staff to me, and I thought they were absolutely insane and told him so. Because at 16, what do you know? Nothing. And I was suicidal. I was depressed. I didn't want to live. I thought if I was going to live the life of my parents, I would rather be dead than go through what I was observing life at that time. It ended up that I said, okay, I will accept this challenge and responsibility, whatever that meant. And I spent the rest of my life on the journey of learning who I am. I had absolutely no idea who I was at the time. I was very lost and confused. I started in my 20s on Eastern philosophy. I have been guided by the angels my entire life. I have a whole gaggle of them around talking to me all the time. And I thought everyone could do that. And I discovered nobody could do that. That was a gift that I had that I was unaware of at the time. I became very, very familiar with a lot of my past lives because of the things that I was being challenged with in this lifetime. And I figured I must have gotten an awful lot of people really good in another lifetime because of what I was experiencing in this. And I always kept a positive attitude. I came down here with an attitude of I'm here to learn. That's why I didn't get into the corporate life. I chose not to do any of that. I chose to walk my own path, whatever that looked like at the time. In 2008, a lot of things started to change. I moved to Chicago and I ended up writing the books Dancing Souls because I got more involved in sound therapy, that's it. And because of that, I was bringing in a whole new modality that the angels were teaching me and giving to me at that time. And so I went in and just learned how to do what they wanted to do. I was unaware of anything because usually when I'm doing work on clients, I'm on the journey with them. So if they don't know what's going on, I see for them, I hear for them, and I speak on their behalf. Well, this one was so different because of the vibrational energy was incredibly high. I was blinded, but every time that the client asked what's going on, I would tell them. So I always knew, they always downloaded that for me. And as a result of that, that's when the books came about and I had met a gentleman in Chicago and I wanted to be a better person for the first time in my life. I wanted to be better. I wasn't combative anymore. I wanted to release my anger. I wanted to really just dump all of it because my inside version of who I was and my outside version of who I was acting as were two different things. And I wanted to bring those into alignment. And that's what I did. And the books, Dancing Souls, are about the journey of an awakening spirit. This is what our grand masters went through. This is what all of them went through because they were still having a human experience, even though they were evolving and showing the way. There's a lot of head trash. There's a lot of stuff that you go through when you wake up because the light is coming in and is coming into lighting up the dark recesses of our minds. It's allowing us to see what was not accurate in our thinking, because we're programmed as children with paradigms. So we see things, we feel things, but we don't understand them. And then, in my opinion, we almost spend a lifetime getting rid of it to understand and remember who we are. And as a result of that, I know who I am. I always knew I was afraid of standing into my grandness and my greatness, because it's not the smallness, that's easy to be small. It's stepping into the true magnificence of who we are, which is very frightening. It's a huge responsibility, but I find it very rewarding at the same time when I do that for myself, is because I do know and I do understand. I am empathetic. I do have compassion. I do want to help our world, because I truly believe our world can change when we decide we're going to change. There's more of us than them, and we can change this in a heartbeat. And I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. And my mission my whole life was to help people wake up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well explained, Kathleen. So I want to understand personal growth in that sense, that there was a time when you were not happy, and then you wanted to get into the limelight or the sunlight and all the grandness that God had actually given to you, but you were not prepared for it. So how should people look at personal growth? Why is it that at that age, earlier on in life, you could not understand it? What is the reason that we don't understand our personal greatness that is there, but we don't understand it? How can we look at ourselves in that, you know, the real light?
Well, the one thing I felt, and I hear this a lot from people that are coming on my show, is the unfulfillment. We think that we're chasing money, we're changing the so-called American dream. I know you're in India, but we all have dreams. We all want good things for ourselves and for our families. That's what we want. Regardless of what our circumstances are, that's an innate desire we all have, is wanting to feel happy, wanting to feel peace, wanting to bring joy and feel, just have a nice time in life. And life isn't like that a lot of times. We are challenged, but this is a school. And I think that was the biggest thing that I learned to accept, is that we were in school, and this is where we get to test out how much we know and how much we grow. So when I made that decision that I wanted to be a better person, that's when my life changed. And we all come to a point where we have to look at that fulfillment. What is lacking in us that wants us to do that? And everybody's story is different. Everybody has a different version of what that looks like. But me was about wanting to be better. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to bring myself into alignment. What I didn't understand was how much darkness was still in there. After, 20, 30 years of working on myself, there was still that much more in depth I had to go, which was perfect, because that's what the books were about. This is what really happens when you make that commitment, and it is about making a commitment to yourself. A lot of times people will make goals for the first of the year and then they don't follow through because it's not easy or they're not seeing the results. Well, this is a journey. This is a journey. This is not a 7-Eleven world, and I know the microwave is too slow, but that is not who we are. We are not technology. We are human beings, and things take time. And when we start looking at the longer version, the bigger picture of where we want to go, it's going to take time, because if you went too fast, you could burn out. And I know that I was on an accelerated rate when I was in Chicago, and people are like, you got to slow down. I said, I can't. I don't know how to stop. This is just coming in. It's coming in. It's coming in. And when I finally got back to Colorado is when I started to be able to assess everything, but I was still in the trenches of hopelessness and despair. My mother had passed away. There was a lot of darkness still inside. And when I felt the hopelessness is when it bothered me the most, because I understood suicide at that moment. I truly understood what suicide is, because hopelessness is you don't see anything. It's pure blackness. And I had to find a way out of that, because I was ready to go down that road because it was like, why should I live? Nobody cares that I'm here. It doesn't matter. It was just the darkest and darkest and darkest of what I felt at that moment. And I used gratitude. That was how I got out of it, was thank you that I'm back in Colorado. That was all I could say at that moment, was thank you that I'm back here. The next day was thank you for the blue skies and thank you for the beautiful weather. And then it kept growing and growing and growing from there. And then I got back into, because I'm a ballroom dancer, and I got back into ballroom dancing. And then the joy started coming back, because what I learned is spirit wants us to be happy and they want us to be childlike and to play. And dancing was playing, hard work. And I got to look at all my stuff, because when you're dancing with a partner, and that's life, we have partners in life, regardless if it's work or a romantic relationship or friendships, we have people in our lives. And I learned how to dance with life. And I think that's ultimately what that is. But it's about looking and learning and understanding, because I took both Eastern and Western philosophies and integrated them into what did I believe in and where was my truth in this.
Right. So gratitude is the key to happiness and all sorts of growth. Am I right? Or is there more to it? How should, because see, you talk about a long journey. In this journey, you were teaching spiritual principles for over 30 years. Why is it that you could not understand things for yourself, and at the same time you were into that teaching to others? It happens with a lot of people. You must be having a treasure trove with you, but you are not able to look at it.
There was a lot of abuse in my family, a lot. I mean, we're talking mental, physical, sexual, emotional. And I buried that. What I did is I left my body. I literally left my body. I did not come back until I was in my 50s. I was gone. I was checked out. I can't remember 90% of my life because I was not there. I did not know how to deal with what happened. It wasn't talked about back then. It was still just starting to come out. It's not like what the world is today. And you didn't talk about that kind of stuff. And I dealt with mental illness because my father was neurotic. And so that mental illness was coming on me, and I had to fight my way out of that. And I had a lot of support from Mother Mary, who came into my room. I had to look at all of my anger because I didn't understand my anger at that point. Well, I understand it now. But looking at that and learning to forgive my family that they did the best they could with what they had, the angels helped me to understand the gift that my father gave me. And what came out when my mother passed away was that was even worse than what my father had done. And I had to learn to forgive her, because in my mind, she didn't love me based on what I discovered at her burial. And I had to come to terms with that I loved her regardless if she didn't love me. And I came down here to help her to transition. And that's exactly what I did. It wasn't until I fully understood what gratitude was. I could be grateful, but I wasn't as grateful. I didn't know certain things. I had a broad concept of things, but I didn't know how to bring them in. And I had been studying with Bob Proctor and Mary Morrissey and Mark Victor Hansen and all of those. And they said it, but it was like, it's not that simple. There's something else going on, but I didn't know what that was. What I discovered was there was so many dark paradigms inside of myself that I had to look at all of it. I had to unearth all of that darkness before I could start moving into more of the light. And that's the hard part that people don't want to do, is they don't want to feel that pain, that darkness, that frightening place, that I hate you kind of thing. I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. We don't want to feel that because it's so painful. But when I chose to open my heart is when everything changed. We shut down our world. We're in our phones 24/7. We are not part of the world when we're doing that. So when you come back into your heart and you come back and you acknowledge that there's people around you and you start giving of yourself, that's when everything changes. That's when your life is going to make a dramatic difference. And I'm walking proof of it. Is it where I want it to be yet? No, but my God, it's a million times better than it ever used to be. God is not doing anything to me anymore. I created it. I'm changing it. If I don't like the way something is, change my thoughts, change my life. That's a really simple rule, but it's not an easy thing to do. Taking that type of responsibility is the hardest thing in the world to do. I spent half my life going, I would not do this to myself. And now it's like, yes, you did do this to yourself because this is a lesson you needed to learn. And thank God I did that because I got to really understand that thinking to the degree that I understand it today, to where I can help people better today, because I am a walking testimonial of what coming from the darkest of darkness, coming into the brilliance of what my light is. And I'm not fully there yet, but I'm probably about 98% there where I want to be. But I'm always going to be at 98% because we're always growing and evolving.
Right, right. When times are tough, you talked about gratitude, you talked about thoughts changing as you want them to be. So when times are tough, Kathleen, who should you rely more on? People around you or the angels? Who is more helpful as per you?
The angels. The angels. I have a support system. Don't get me wrong. I do. And when I get confused or I'm not getting any answers, I reach out and I do get them. And the angels are always there. I've learned when I was in Chicago, we are never, ever, ever, ever alone. I don't care how alone you feel. You are never alone. I learned that firsthand. So I know that they're always there. They may not always talk to me anymore, but our relationship has changed. And what they're doing is now I'm bringing more people similar to me into my field to where we're collaborating in a way that we're making the light bigger on the planet, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I commend myself for making that change because I wouldn't meet these people if I wasn't making that change in myself. Because like attracts like, regardless of what anyone says. If I'm angry, I'm going to have anger towards me. If I'm bitter about something or I'm pissy about something, I'm going to bring all that to me. And I choose not to do that anymore. I choose to have joy and happiness in my life. And yes, I could have all sorts of things in my life fall apart in front of me. And it's like, okay, what's the gift? What am I here to learn? How am I going to respond? Well, it's not going to be God's doing it to me. It's like, well, it's just what it is. Okay. When you want to show me the answer, what I need to do, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit here and work on figuring out what the purpose of this was, or I'm just going to let it go until the answer does come in. And I have an example of in May, my crawl space flooded because of all the rain. And I thought for the last 3 months during that in August, I thought I understood this. And come October, it was like, oh no, this was a premonition. It wasn't all these other things. Yes, I was seeing my progress and how much I grew and changed and learned because I had a water loss in my previous home. And I was in an overwhelm where this one, it didn't bother me, but it was a premonition of what was coming, of how I was thinking about where my life was going to move into. And who knew? Who knew? I just kept it open. But on my show, I'm talking to people and showing them this is what life is. This is how you handle life when it's coming up. Don't get angry about it. Just it's what it is. It's an event.
Absolutely. So what is God trying to tell us through our various life experiences? Is he trying to put us in the right path? Is he trying to give us a message? Why is it that, you know, some people are who have got lots of everything? Doesn't God give them the message to also take care of others? And many people just come and they destroy lives of millions of people. How would you like to? You talked about phone. A phone, you see how social media is making a lot of money for themselves, but and hiding the good things and only promoting the wrong things. Several times. And there are so many cases, so many discussions already going on. Why is it that God has to give messages only to lesser mortals?
God doesn't give messages just to a certain people. God gives messages to every single one of us. We all have our angels talking to us. We make the choice. We have a free will. We choose if we're going to chase money. We choose if we're going to get into pornography. We choose that. My understanding of this is, and I know there's a lot of horrific things on this planet. Believe me, I am very well aware of what goes on this planet, and it is horrific. These are all choices that we made. Part of us choose to come back, to live through that, to release karmic debt. That's part of it. Part of what I chose, because I know who I am and where I came from. I understand who I am, and I chose to come down and have this very challenging life because I made a decision when I was a little kid. I remember I told my parents, I said, I'm going to live to 100 years old. Do I want to live to 100? No, I'm getting really close to there. But the reason I think I was choosing to live to 100 is because I said, I'm not coming back. And my mother kept saying, oh, yes, you are, because you're going to hell and you're blah, 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 whatever she did. And I said, no, I'm not coming back. If I come back, I will come back with full remembrance because I choose that this is done for me. I took on a very challenging life so I could release a lot of my karmic debt, so I could understand who I am and where I'm going. I truly believe that even though there's all this chaos out in the world, and that's only because the light is shining in on our planet right now. The light is here, and that's why all this darkness is coming up, so we can ascend, so we can come back into the light. But I truly believe that just because there's chaos out there, that's not my world. I'm living in this world, but I'm not of this world. I am choosing the life I choose to live. I'm going to live by example. If people want to be in that crazy, chaotic world, that's their choice to make, but it's not mine. I'm a way shower, and I'm going to live a different life. Yes, do I feel inflation? Oh, yeah. Do I see the crime and the wars and feel all of that? Oh, yes, I do. But the only control that I have is how am I responding to that? And my choice is to bring light and to bring a message to the world of you can change this. Just because your world is this doesn't mean you have to be. Change your thoughts. Change how you're looking at things. What is it that you want? What makes your heart sing? Because if your heart is singing, you're going to be bringing joy and love and laughter into your life. And that's going to change the world because the powers to be that are running our world want fear and terror, and they want to shame us. They are controlling us in ways beyond ways beyond ways. And my attitude is, you can kill my body, but I will not die. I have no fear. I have no fear. I have stood up to a lot of powerful people in my life and don't care. I'm still here. It's like, well, you know, kill me. See if I care. And when you diffuse them like that and you diffuse that energy, you gain your power back. And that is a magnificent thing, is to own your power. It's not frightening. It's exciting. And I can say that because this is the girl who walked around in fear. My motto is, I have nothing to fear but fear itself. And I have walked through more and more fear. My entire life, I have walked through fear. And I choose not to do that anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a wonderful state to be in. Let me talk about your Dream Builder technology. What does it bring to people? It's fascinating. I want to hear about it, so that people also learn about it and what about its benefits and people who want to experience it.
Well, the dream building technology is a course, and we go through, there's 10 steps to creating the dream, which is what is the life that you want to live. And most of us give up before we ever get there because we think it's too hard. We put self-limiting beliefs on us. We put our own doubts and fears on us. We only think there's one way to get to where we want. So here's point A, here's point B. And even though life is a journey and we zigzag back and forth, nothing's ever a straight line. And what happens is when you have this big dream, you're also allowing, it's do what you can with what you have right here, right now. And one baby step every single day will get you closer to your dream. And it's all about raising your vibration and changing your thoughts. So if there's a dream out there and you say, I want this house, but I don't have any money. Well, guess what? You're right. You don't have any money, and you're not going to have any money because you just told the universe, I don't have any money. So when you say that, because the unit, it's all about self-talk too, because we all have these dialogues in our head and they're not always positive. You've got that good angel and that bad angel, and we're always listening to the dark side instead of the light side. And this is about changing your self-talk. It's about changing your perspective. It's about moving. It's about holding yourself accountable, having somebody to help you hold yourself accountable, and also to help you come up with a different way, like get out of the box, quit thinking inside of the box. Because when you say, I want this, the universe is, your wish is my command. Now, it may take time depending on the size of the dream that you have. It's going to take time. Like, I have a huge goal and a huge dream, and I'm in the middle of it. And this is what it looks like right here today. Am I there? No, but I'm definitely moved considerably in that other direction. And one of my goals was to get on the speaking circuit, and I did all the training. I have my speech. I have everything done. I was ready to go, and I broke my hand, and I'm like, okay, what's this about? And this is last year. And so what I did is I just sat there and I had to stop moving, and I had to get really clear with myself on that. And what I came up with was I really didn't want to deal with going to the airport and going through TSA, because DIA, Denver International Airport, is just horrible. It's just horrible. And I didn't want to deal with that and the stress level that I go through going through the airport anymore. And I used to love to fly, and now it's... ugh. So I got back and I just sat there, and I was February, and I get this email about the show that I'm on. And I thought, and I would never have given this a thought had I not stopped moving. And it would intrigue me. And I called him, and now I'm on a TV show just like this. And I was like, wow, this is like this and something better, because you always want to say this or something better. You don't want to put yourself in a box in your own dream. Am I still going to go on the speaking circuit? Yes. But it's going to come back. It's going to come in a different format, in a different way, is how I see this. And so I'm getting my message out there, and I'm reaching probably more people now than I could before. And that's what the dream building technology is about. It's about opening your eyes, getting out of your box, and having somebody guide you and support you in it, because we don't know how to get there. And then it teaches you how to allow God to come in and help you, because God needs, I mean, we're co-creators with God. He wants to give us everything, but it's still up to us. We're the ones that are in matter. We're the ones that are physical. So you just have to show signs of patience. And how many things have I lived through in my life? There's only one major goal that I haven't got to yet, but that doesn't mean it's not coming, because you know what? I think I finally hit the core of where I need to be so I can skyrocket, but I'm still a little bit in limbo, but that's okay. It'll happen when it's time to happen. And I trust that, but I'm still moving. And that's the point, is I'm still moving in that direction. I take a baby step every day, and every day, morning and night, I say thank you for what I have. And I have my affirmations of what I want as well, because all that's doing, it's recircuiting our brain. And that's what you want to do, is you want to change the neurotransmitters in your brain to something that's more positive and dynamic, instead of this negativity that we seem to go down, because all we are doing is lambasted with negativity. We'll change that. Get positive. I always love when I see people that are light and bright and happy. It's like, I want that. I don't know what they did, but I want that. Absolutely. And I think I'm turning into that.
Absolutely. That's the light of brilliance, God's light, you know, that spreads everywhere. And this is where, you know, this is what is called infectious energy. And when that happens, everyone feels, that's the good part of good people around you, you know, the bright people. They may not be the most intelligent, but they will certainly bring a lot of great energy around you.
And who cares what their intelligence is? If they're happy and they're having fun, absolutely, that's the thing. It's like, you know, let's go back to being little kids. I mean, we came in and we were so excited about life, and we were learning, and we were changing and falling and learning how to walk and eat, and everything went in our mouth, and we were exploring, and we stopped doing that. And we need to come back to that. I mean, look at the beautiful planet we live on. Yes, we're hurting her, but you know what? She still loves us. She's still beautiful. And I'm still in awe about nature and how healing that our planet is to us when we get out there. Hug a tree. I used to hug trees all the time. I love hugging trees. There's an energy, you know? I mean, it was fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is a lot of, you know, great. I can see all that trees in your background and all this. This looks such great, you know? Just this look of it is looking so great. There is much to, you know, learn from you, Kathleen. There is much to learn and understand from your book, from you, and also from your podcast. So those people who want to learn from you, if you can tell them about your podcast, about your book, and those people who would like to connect with you in, also for professionalism, what's the best way for them to do so?
Well, my website is KathleenMFlanagan.com, and I have a list of the services, and my books are on there. I also am on Amazon.com with the two books, and my third book, because it was written as a trilogy, is hopefully will be out by the end of the year. Is the plan. We're just doing the front covers, and we're just getting the back cover written right now, and then we'll get this thing published. So I'm really excited that the third book is coming out. My show is The Journey of an Awakening Spirit. We are on the Bold Brave TV network, Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know you're in India and you're 12 hours ahead of us, but that's when we're on. But again, we're live, we're on YouTube, and we're on all the podcast platforms out there. And so that's another way to get a hold of me as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Ajay.